Now, we all love good news, don't we? It's good to have good news. News about baptisms, weddings, birthdays, family celebrations. It's really nice to have good news. But when we look at the world around us, the world is good in part, but it's not perfect. And we see lots of happy things on the television, which we rejoice in, but also there's a lot of sadness in the world today, as I'm sure you appreciate. Lots of good news, but lots of bad news, quite heavy news, in fact, if we're honest. And our gospel passage, the one that Francesca read, reflects this. It begins like this. It says, after John was put in prison. Well, that's not good news, is it? That is bad news, certainly bad news. It's a dark moment in the story of Jesus Christ. John put in prison. And I'd just like to just remind ourselves a little bit about what John had said and how he'd ended up in prison. John was a prophet, and he had come as a herald to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in fact absolutely confident that God was going to do a new thing. He was going to bring the long-awaited Messiah to the Jewish people. God was going to step into the world. He was going to do something new, and he was going to transform people's lives. But people had to get themselves ready. They had to prepare for the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And that meant they needed to recognize that God was holy, they were not, and therefore they needed to be honest with themselves and repent of their sins. And lots of people loved hearing that message. It was new. It was transformative. They had a real sense that God was going to do a new thing in their lives. And people flocked out of the towns and the cities to hear John the Baptist preach his message that God, the kingdom of God, was near. It was just around the corner. Prepare the way for the Lord. And they went out. And they were baptized by him in their hundreds and thousands, making themselves right, making themselves ready for God, repenting of all those silly things, those bad things that they had done, which had spoiled their lives and their relationships one with another, baptized in the rivers. But then, John, being the bold, stark prophet that he was, had challenged the authorities. He called out sin in the authorities. And as a result, he was arrested and swiftly put into prison. And that, in a sense, was the end of his ministry. He'd been calling that the time was near, but now it seemed as if it had all come to a terrible close. John was in prison. And lo and behold, then comes Jesus. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. The time has come, he says. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. John had said that the moment was coming. It was near. Jesus says the moment is now. It's arrived. The good news is here. And he goes out and he sends his disciples, or he calls people to himself, Simon and his brother Andrew. He spots them cast, they were fishermen, and he spots them casting a net into the lake. And he says, come and follow me. And he goes on a little further and he sees James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets too. And he says, come and follow me. And without any hesitation whatsoever, they put down their nets. And they followed him because they appreciated that in the person of Jesus, something new was happening. They had a new time. The kingdom of God was not just near, it was right at hand, and it was signaled in the ministry and the message of Jesus Christ. Good news. The King, God, they believed, had arrived in the form of Jesus. And of course it goes on, doesn't it? We know what the good news is. Jesus is going on to show people how they can live better lives, live in a way which is more pleasing and acceptable to God, no longer selfish or greedy or angry, but loving and forgiving and kind and caring and nurturing and powerfully standing up for one another because they believe in God. And Jesus, in his life and his ministry, he spends the next 3 years teaching people and anybody who would hear that actually the time is now. The time for repentance is now. Getting yourself right with God is now. Putting your faith in God, put your faith in me, he says. And he demonstrates the love of God so much by being willing, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, by being willing to die upon a cross. That's the extent of God's love for the world and for the people around him. And Jesus does die upon that cross. But it was not an accident. It was not a misfortune. It was bad news, it may seem, but it was not an accident. It wasn't a folly. It was always meant to be. Because by doing that, Jesus takes upon himself the punishment, the consequences of all those sinful actions, those wrong things, those greedy things, those foolish things that we have done in our lives. And he nails those to the cross. And he takes upon himself that punishment, the consequences of all those shameful things, so that we and all those who put our faith and our trust in him don't need to bear it for ourselves. And in fact, what that does, it gives us a new relationship with God. If we believe that Jesus died upon the cross for us, then we are forgiven. That's all we need to do. We need to put our faith and our trust in him, say, "Thank you, Lord," and we are forgiven. And we stand afresh with a new relationship with God. But it's not just a once and for all moment. It's something that we need to commit ourselves to. We need to walk with, embrace, and make part of our lives and our culture so that through us, we might be changed and a little by little, the people around us behave in a more loving, kind, and gentle way and perhaps come to faith themselves. We can transform the world when we put our faith and our trust in God. And encourage others to do the same. So now, why am I saying all that this morning? Because this is a baptism service. And Luke and Kaylee have brought their little daughter, Esme, to church today to be baptized. Now, baptism is a sign and a symbol of the love of God for us, the grace that we all receive, when we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize his death upon the cross. We acknowledge it and we claim it for ourselves. And we put our faith and our trust in it and we believe it. But we don't just claim it for ourselves. We say, "I want my children, my family, to be identified with Jesus and this faith." And that's what we're doing today. Now, of course, little Esme is too tiny, too small to understand what's going to happen to her. She's simply going to be splashed with a bit of water in just a moment. But that water is symbolic of the cleansing action which takes place when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. There's nothing that we can do for ourselves to make ourselves right. We simply put ourselves in God's hands and we accept what Jesus has done for us. So it's a pure sign of love and grace. This washing that we receive in the water, but also is symbolic of that greater washing that comes through Jesus' death upon the cross. Now, as I've said, little Esme won't understand in the slightest what is happening to her today. But I hope Mum and Dad, Kaylee and Luke, godparents, family and friends, good people in this church and congregation, that you have some understanding of what's happening. And not only that, as she grows up, you'll be able to tell her, "I was there, I saw you baptized in All Saints Necton Church on the 14th of June 2026. I saw it. I was a witness to this wonderful event, this wonderful occasion, and I was pleased about it. And therefore, I'm going to encourage you in your faith and pray for you, and I'm going to try and do my best to be a good example to you, so that when she grows up, she might come to know the Lord Jesus personally for herself." Now, you know, Jesus, he went along the shoreline and he called his disciples to him. And they left everything and they followed him. They did not understand everything that was going to happen at that moment. The next 3 years in Jesus' ministry was an adventure and a life experience and an unraveling story as they came to know more. And that's precisely how we are in our own lives. The rest of our lives is a journey as we come to faith, but also learn more about it. If we embrace this story, it's good news. Wonderful news. Good news. The King has arrived and he's made himself at home in our hearts. So, I'd just like to encourage you all to put your faith and your trust in him, believe in him, and follow him. And encourage little Esme in later life to do the same. Amen.